Hi everybody, this is a really quick recording and again, more of a reflection than a podcast, but it's just to respond to a couple of the former podcasts that we have recorded. The ABA one, we have actually recorded a follow-up and I haven't edited it yet, but after being contacted by somebody about the original ABA podcast discussion, I just wanted to clarify that personally, I'm really against ABA, and I'm not sure if that came across. I think I refer in the podcast to, you know, some people saying they're ABA, and actually the service they're delivering doesn't really appear to be ABA, and they're saying, well, it's because I'm modern ABA, or I'm using ABA principles, but they're not actually using withholding or any kind of punishment. And I think what I was actually trying to get across was, what are they defining as it? I think so long as you are not teaching children and adults to suppress the way they are, and you're just trying to, like I did as a teacher, teach skills that are going to help fill those gaps, to help children learn and grow. And again, I think it's really important to remember that I'm autistic, and I've worked with a lot of autistic people, including my own children. And there are some gaps we have that actually we do want support with and help with so that we can thrive. But I think it's about trying to take the lead from the individual. In some cases, admittedly, you aren't always aware of your needs. And it is a very tricky line to cross. But just to be very clear, I did further reading after that podcast. And although I still have a lot of people saying that it's helpful, it's crucial, I've even come across autistic people saying that actually they feel thankful they had ABA therapy, and it was more of a play-based therapy and that kind of thing. And you know, I cannot from experience talk about what it's like to have ABA, apart from the fact that I've discussed how I can see it all around us in every system. So to a point, I think we're all subjected to, as autistic people, or as people, I suppose, to kind of behave a certain way, and there are certain social rules and all of those things. But my understanding from further research is that ABA tends to be based, even modern ABA, and I'm sorry if this offends people, but this is just from the research I've done and podcasts I've listened to of late as well. Modern ABA even still seems to be based on the principles of autistic people needing to be changed and needing to learn not to do certain things, needing to learn not to stim, getting rewards if they don't do these things. And what they don't realise is it's harmful, because you're actually asking that person to mask and to suppress everything that is natural to them. There are some behaviours that are self-injurious, and my children have exhibited those. My husband has in the past, particularly when he was a young man, when he used to have big emotions and things he couldn't process. Again, probably for another discussion. But I do understand where sometimes we do need to intervene and sometimes we do need to support. But there's a very big difference between that and intensive therapy. I read something today and actually watched something today about an individual who had 9 till 5 ABA therapy from the age of 3. And you know, I just can't even imagine. And this is because they felt that this person was so behind developmentally, they had to have intensive training. And, you know, I just don't feel that's right. And as a teacher who's taught a range of different children who all develop at very different rates, I just don't believe in it. And I'm very open-minded, but I don't think anybody or anything is going to convince me otherwise. I don't believe in it. I think that we meet the need of that individual. And I think that naturally, you know, if we can lead by interest, or I'm not very good at explaining myself again. This is the problem I sometimes have. I have the thoughts in there, just really struggle sometimes to get them out. And it's really frustrating. And this is where I can sometimes kind of get myself into trouble, because I don't articulate it properly. And then people question what I'm saying. And then I hate it because they think I'm backtracking, and actually in the first place I just didn't explain it very well. And so this is one of my annoyances. But just for the record, I just wanted to confirm that I am not pro-ABA is just that I came across some practitioners who were offering services that they painted as it, but it didn't seem to be that. And some people argue, like I said, that speech and language is a therapy, occupational therapy, you know, so are they ABA? But again, I think that they're more about identifying where the children are, what troubles they have and how we can help them. It's not necessarily an intensive program of they must do this. As an example, my eldest is going to be going through occupational therapy, sensory occupational therapy very soon. And we're actually really excited about this. It's literally a few sessions to go and play, and there's no expectation other than that. And we will be given a report just to say what his needs are. I think I've already exposed a lot of them through my own research over the years because I've been left for nearly 7 years. So you have to do these things for yourself. And the podcasts I listen to are anything, including Carol Kranowitz. I just read anything where I see her name present, to be honest. I find a lot of what she says just very sensible, and it's been very helpful for me. But again, I won't be going through intense therapy sessions with him to change who he is, but his sensory world is very prominent and he's troubled by it. And I obviously want to offer opportunities for him to be able to regulate. And as much as I do everything I can, I know he needs a bit more help. So I'm seeking professional expertise to be able to give me more ideas. But the examples of this are, for example, he spits a lot, he licks a lot. So it's about trying to meet that oral need through maybe blowing bubbles or blowing bubbles into his water, licking lollies, that kind of thing. So again, I think you can see that they're very, very different ideas. Some people say with the modern ABA, it's play-based, it's fun. Again, I think I could understand that to a point, but not when you're having to do it that intensively over that timescale. There was somebody I actually came across online, and she enraged me just as I was starting to think, oh, there's this modern ABA and, you know, they need to separate themselves from ABA. And that, like I said earlier, I listened to some podcasts and I thought, wow, actually, you know, I kind of get what these people are saying, and said a lot of very positive stuff. But then I'm sorry to say it is woven through the language. And even this individual was talking about being an ABA practitioner, and as she was being questioned by people, it all started to come out how the literature still, when teaching the practitioners about ABA, it still leans towards the autistic person being wrong and needing to be taught how to behave correctly. And they might not be punishing them now. And this individual said, well, it's just playing. And they didn't even realise they're playing. They're having a whale of a time. I mean, that's wonderful. I do play therapy with my children, not purposely. When my youngest was diagnosed recently, the diagnostician actually said, oh, you do this. I hadn't consciously been doing it, but, you know, I do things like I use toys to speak to them or to show them scenarios. And apparently that's what was meant. I'm a big advocate for play for learning, which I was taught when I did a year in reception, which I'd never taught before. And I found that really interesting. And I've taken that with me through out my teaching into every year group, in fact, which people laugh at, but it works. You know, it doesn't have to always be sat looking at a board. I just believe so strongly in activity and critical thinking and engagement and keeping things physical and just having a range of techniques. And that's what I do with the children, and I go with their learning. So again, probably not explained very well, but this individual said, I come with all my toys and they don't realise, they just think they're playing. Again, I'm a big advocate of children learning when they don't realise they're learning. But this is still not right. This is still ringing alarm bells for me. And it was as this individual was being challenged and questioned by parents of autistic children, it was the way the language was coming out so negatively. And again, still othering autistic people. And then when this person admitted they had absolutely no experience or background in autism, they'd had to do no studies, everything they knew about autism was from the ABA training. So they've become this behaviour and analyst, and they're teaching autistic children to learn how to not be autistic in some sense. Some of the things they said, well, it's about turn-taking and it's about how to be socially appropriate. But again, it doesn't sit well with me. And so far, even some of the practitioners that I initially researched and thought, oh, they sound quite gentle, the more I've delved into the world, the more that I have seen things they've written, or I've questioned them, or heard other people question them, you just can't get away from the fact that ABA as a term needs to be rejected, and ABA as a practice needs to be rejected. I was then challenged by somebody saying, yes, well, your child's mild, or children are mild. What do you know? And I will never take away a parent's choice for certain things, because we are all living different experiences. And but the frustration for me is to say that my children are mild, because they are not mild. They can present as neurotypical to a point, because especially my youngest, he can mask. But I find it really actually insulting when people tell me my children are mildly autistic. They have so many challenges. My eldest can't even be at school at the moment, and I am genuinely concerned at the moment that my youngest isn't going to cope at school either, but he wants to give it a try, and we will support him in anything that makes him comfortable. But the moment that he is not comfortable, he will not be in that system. I know not everybody has that privilege, but I'm already at home with my eldest, so, you know, it's difficult. We've had to sacrifice an income, but I'll do whatever it takes to support my children and to keep them happy. But I am so frustrated when people tell me my children are mild. What does that mean? I was actually told that you need to understand that many of the parents who opt for ABA have children who are severely autistic. And I get what they're trying to suggest with that. And I do understand, yet again, it's a spectrum. We're all different. And some people are more impacted, as I've heard it explained, than others. But again, the actual truth is we're all affected in different ways at different times. I come across as very high functioning, but there are so many situations that I get into where I do not come across as high functioning. And instead of people thinking, oh no, that's because she's autistic and struggling in this situation, it's because I'm weird or I'm odd. And I'm going to tell you something, honestly, many, many years ago, I worked, I mean, this is probably about the age of 16, I had a job and I was a sales assistant, and one of my colleagues, because of my behaviour being a little bit socially inappropriate, I think I'd become anxious about something, I can't remember the full story, but she actually accused me of being on drugs and told everybody, and I have never even tried them. I haven't even really been tempted to try them, and again, I'm not judging other people, but me personally, I haven't. And so for my behaviour, because it was odd to them to be seen as I'm on drugs, I get a bit hyperactive. And especially if I'm nervous, I'll waffle and I just embarrass myself. And then I loop on the embarrassment time and time again, years later, decades later. And so again, it's just very, very insulting when people say, well, you're mildly autistic and your children are mildly autistic. My children are so challenged in so many ways. I do an awful lot with them to try and teach them, you know, coping strategies, regulation techniques. And I had an ABA therapist actually say, well, that's all I'm doing. But again, the more that you spoke to this individual, it was the language dripping from this person and the lack of education about autism. And they didn't really understand why they were having to teach the children not to do certain things. That's just the way it is. So again, I hope that I've cleared that up. Probably haven't, because I'm just struggling to process my own thoughts and then articulate them. But yeah, I just want to make it very clear that I am actually anti-ABA. And I don't mean to insult anybody. And I do actually believe a lot of people are trying to come from a good place. And I do believe that some parents really do feel that this is the only option for their children. And I am also going to acknowledge, as I've had a parent say this to me, that I don't know what it's like to parent their particular child and that they've chosen to go down this route because they're desperate. And again, that is a parental choice. I am against it personally from everything that I've already discussed, but I am not the parent of that child. And I will step back respectfully, you know, and express that we are all, as parents, trying to do the right thing. And I do think there's too much of this attacking one another all of the time. And I actually did record a podcast about that too, but I haven't managed to actually upload it. So hopefully there'll be a few uploaded soon, or we will just try and re-record them because we have quite a lot of backlog. But thank you so much for listening, and speak soon.